Good morning. Just that one image that Harry had up there and verse came to my mind I wanted to share. It's not really where I'm going with what I wanted to share with you this morning, but in Romans chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but it's talking about how, like, this thought, it's an amazing thought to think that on the cross, Jesus Christ defeated sin and shame, defeated the devil, that there's victory over the devil. And it's amazing because how just the faith to receive that in Jesus Christ there's victory, that we don't have to remain a slave. And it's amazing because we go through this life, so many people go through this life and they live, and I lived that way before coming to Christ and surrendering my life to him, but to know that through Jesus Christ we have the opportunity to live a life of victory over sin. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And it's easy for us to lose sight of that and to think that somehow the power of Satan, we wouldn't say this. We would verbally say, oh yeah, Jesus is greater than the devil. But the reality is, it's not oftentimes the way people live, because they feel like I could never overcome whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? I can't be free of that. And yet through Jesus Christ, we can. It takes faith and it takes a willingness to come to the cross and surrender our life. And you effectively, we call them in the Bible, you call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. What's the other names for that? The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And in the New Covenant, if you enter into the New Covenant, which is made through Jesus Christ, he's they call it the mediator, which is maybe a confusing word, but he's the one that he offers us the New Covenant. And if we enter into covenant with him by coming and exchanging our life for his through what he did on the cross and the fact that he rose again, then in that New Covenant, that we enter into a life where the power of Jesus Christ is completely available to us. And we don't have to stay. Jesus went into the grave and came out of the grave. We start in the grave. That's where we start. And we can go through this whole life never coming out. It's like the story of Lazarus, when Jesus calls him forth. Jesus is sitting here this morning, each day, he's crying out, saying, Tim, like, if I was in the grave, and when I say in the grave, it says the wages of sin is death. If we're living in a place where we're bound in sin, and because of that sin, we live a life of condemnation and death, Jesus is crying out even this morning saying, hey, come out of that grave. I defeated sin and all the shame and the death that goes with sin. I defeated it on the cross. And he's calling. It's an amazing thing. And I hope that this morning, as we reflect on what he did in dying for us and in the fact that God raised him from the dead, that there's life in Jesus Christ. And that we don't, so anyway, the verse I was going to read is, if for by the transgression of one, in Romans 5:17, death reigned through the one. So the fact that Adam sinned and therefore sin entered the world, and so now we're all born under sin, it says much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Not reign when we get to heaven. Like, well, I'm just going to continue living a defeated life until I get to heaven, and then I can overcome and reign with him. But it actually says that we can reign with him in life. And reign doesn't mean we're reigning over people. Reign means we're victorious. We enter into this covenant with Jesus where we can have victory over those sins and the things in our life that have us bound today. That we can actually live from today. It says in the Bible, it says, today is the day of salvation. So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but just come humbly to him and say, Jesus Christ, I want this victory. I want this life. I want to overcome. And I am a sinner. But we can be saved by grace, the abundance of his grace that is enough to pull us out of this grave the same way Jesus was rose out of the grave. He's able to do that for us today. Not just today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. He's able to give us a victory. It's an amazing, amazing thing, and it's easy to lose sight of, especially we hear all of the death and defeat in this world. And yet the reality is that the message of Jesus Christ is that we can have victory over all of these things. Switching gears. In Matthew chapter 22, and this is familiar, Jesus talks about the greatest commandment. In 22, verse 36 to 40, someone asks him and says, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus responded to him and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." And I share this because recently I was thinking about this, and actually probably remembered it not accurately. I was just thinking about loving you all, loving my brothers and sisters. And I was just challenged. How much love do I have for the brothers and sisters? And in the context, and the reason it was a challenge for me was because I thought, you know, the reality is, and in 1 John, he doesn't mince words. He just says, the one who loves his brother or sister abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. It's amazing. That talks about the reigning in life through Jesus Christ. We don't have to stumble anymore. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The point there, that sounds very extreme. It's like, well, Tim, are you saying you hate your brother? No, I'm not necessarily saying I have hatred, but it just, to me, what the Lord showed me was just like, if you say that you love the Lord, the love you have for brothers and sisters, Tim, can be a bit of a gauge for you as how much love you have for the Lord. So if I'm feeling like, wow, you know, oh, I tell you, oh yeah, I love Jesus, but I don't have, at the same time, I'm not having that love for my brothers and sisters, maybe my wife, maybe my children. I don't have the love that in my heart, I'm like, something's off there. It is, those two go hand in hand. That's what I want to say. And so if I'm honest with myself and in between the Lord, if I'm struggling in terms of loving others, then I think I need to look inward and say, Lord, I pray that you change my heart, because clearly I need to have more love for you, right? If we're walking close with the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, what's the number one fruit of the Spirit? It's love, right? The love that we have for him will be reflected in the love that we have for others. That was a simple challenge. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that this morning and just encourage you in that. Yes, I ran a race yesterday, for those that don't know. And so, yes, I think about these things. I was thinking before about how do I build endurance in my spiritual walk, as I've been thinking about building endurance in a natural way. And I was thinking about how do I avoid getting distracted in my spiritual walk. So easy in this life to become distracted by other things. And all of a sudden, it affects our walk with the Lord. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says this of Jesus. It says, I'm going to read that. Sorry, I don't have it. I didn't. But this is the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Therefore, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we need to run this race, as we know, we talk about this often, with endurance. It's easy to say, but in this journey, which is not a 100-meter sprint, but it is a long race, there are going to be times where you become weary and the enemy will come in. Just like the enemy tempted Jesus, when the devil finished the temptations in the wilderness, what does it say? He left him. The devil left Jesus. Does it say for good? Until when? Until an opportune time. Till a time when Jesus would be weak again. And that's when the devil would come. And it's no different for us. It's exactly the same. So the devil is watching, waiting to see a time of weakness. And it's in that time of weakness when the enemy will come again to tempt us. And it's not, again, let's not forget, we're not defeated. Through Jesus Christ, we can overcome even in times of weakness. But we need to take heed. If we're just going on in this life and we don't prioritize our walk with the Lord, you will be defeated. Much like running a natural race, especially when you run a longer ways. If you just give no heed, there's aid stations set up. So yesterday there were 6 aid stations. If you just run right by one, no problem. Do you need water? Do you need any food? Do you need any electrolytes? No, I'm good. I'm good, thanks. I'm going to keep going. Run by the next one. I'm fine. I don't need anything. I'll tell you right now, you're not going to make it. At some point, people can't run. This was a longer distance than I've ever done. You can't make it that far, I don't think. Maybe there's superhuman people that could, but let's just say naturally. Running through the mountains and everything, you can't make it. That's why they put aid stations there, is to support the runner on the way. And I'll tell you, that was the thing yesterday that struck out to me the most. I was 7/10 of the way through doing my math. I was at 35 kilometers. And I came down to this aid station, and we'd been going through, we'd climbed up into the mountains, and it was open. It was raining, and it was cold. I've shared a story like this before. You lose the use of certain things. And I came to this aid station, and this man just walked out of the aid station, walked up to me, and he grabbed my water bottle, and he just said, "What do you want?" And it was amazing to me, the gratitude. So I just said, "I'd like some electrolytes." And he just walked away. And while he did, I walked over and I turned, I'm like, "You got grilled cheese sandwiches here?" I was like, "I'll take some of those." I held one in one hand just to warm up my hand, and I ate the other one. And I was so grateful. But he came back, and not like I run with a vest and it's got 2 kind of holsters in the front and the water bottles go in there. And he just walked up. He didn't even ask. He just walked up and he started stuffing it. I'm serious. I get emotional. The gratitude. I left that place and I was like, he knew exactly what I needed. I couldn't do it. And he's just doing it all for me. I just walked away. I was walking up this hill after, and I was just like, wow, just had such a heart of gratitude for this person in a natural sense, helping me out on this natural race. But I thought, what a picture of someone who knew the need of a racer in that moment and was able to just come alongside and immediately meet that need. So the interesting thing was, this aid station was at the end of a long section where you ran out, and then you turned around and you ran straight back the other way. And so the whole time, you're passing people. The whole time. And so the whole way, great job. Like this is what they're doing this whole time. Everybody's just, keep it up, you're doing great, great, great. And I was just struck by it. I'm like, wow, this does nothing for me. All of your great jobs, which you could just tell, their people are just gassed. Maybe they're climbing the hill. Great job. They can hardly breathe. And you don't take anything from it. It's like, I was like, and it just reminds me, it's like, you know, we can love one another in word and in deed. What does it say? In deed and truth, or in word? What does it say in James there? Anyway, you know what I'm saying? If we're just giving verbal to it, it says, oh, I love you, brother. Love you, sister. And yet we're not sensitive to say, I wonder what that brother or sister needs. It might just be they need prayer. to see a brother or sister, you can perhaps see them this morning and go, wow, I can see my heart is heavy. I can see that they're weak. That's why it says, you know, it can be a time of discipline too, a time of temptation, time of testing, time of trial. Maybe they're defeated. And you just look at it and say, man, that brother needs faith. That sister needs faith that Jesus can help them to overcome. And I would say, each one of us, we should be drawn to prayer, to pray for our brothers and sisters. Lord, strengthen that brother that they would overcome. Strengthen that sister. Lord, build their faith. And Lord, if there's a word I could share, if there's something that I could do to help encourage them, Lord, put that in my heart. Or bring another sister, brother along. But it's different than, love you, brother, love you, sister, have a great week. I'm not saying don't say that. Please, I hope you just see the contrast, right? Or it just really struck me yesterday. I was like, I had such analogies. So the end of this race then too, I was so grateful to be able to do this for somebody. I had a guy behind me. It was such a fall. We're getting close to the finish. We had 8 kilometers left. And we're running down just this perfectly smooth gravel road downhill. And I was just loving every moment of it. I was like, this is so easy. Not so easy. Okay, you're tired. But it was a lot easier than some of the other stuff we were dealing with. And he says, I can hear him. I never actually saw him. I just kept hearing him behind me. And he would talk to me from behind me, but I never looked back. He says, isn't there another aid station? Come up. I says, yeah, there's another aid station. It's got to be close. So there it is. So we hit the aid station. And the aid station is right there. And then right past the aid station, there's somebody just doing this, and they're just pointing you into this trail, and this trail is going back up over the last mountain. And you got like 6 kilometers left, and you're like, yes. And then you see the trail of what the 6 kilometers looks like, and you're like, oh, so we're climbing, and he's still right behind me. I learned afterwards his name. I went after the race and talked to him. I can tell he's hurting. And I'm hurting too, but I somehow started a conversation with the guy, he says, I just hope this is the last one. I said, it is the last one. I studied the map pretty close. I know this is the last one. And he just said, I think he says, you're an inspiration to me, he said. And so we're going. And so then I asked him, I said, do you have a goal for this? Is this your first time? He says, yeah, it's my first time. I said, my first time too. He says, oh, they told me try and run it. And he gave me the time. And I looked at my watch. I was like, we're not going to make it by that time. I says, why don't we set this as our goal? And he didn't really say much behind me, but then that was it. I kind of said in my mind, this is our goal. Him and I, we're going to finish it this time. And so we're just trudging up this hill. And I would just encourage him. I'd be like, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's push. And then at one point he goes, sorry, it feels like I'm just right behind you. But he said to me, he says, you're my beacon. And I says, this is great. I love it. I was so encouraged that I felt like I had a cord tied behind me to this guy. And I thought, this is awesome. I can help him to the finish. And so we're just pushing. And then we get super close. You actually come down into the actual final park, and you come through the parking lot, and then you go down, and this guy's like, great race. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, then the finish line's got to be right around the corner. If he's saying great race, that's got to be right there. And I come down, and this, so in my mind, I'm done. And then I come down to the lake, and the lady's pointing this way, and she goes, 1 more kilometer. And I'm like, no, that's different than almost, something's wrong. And so then all of a sudden, I hear him behind me. And he's encouraging me. He says, come on. He was encouraging me on. He was spurring me on. He was just like, come on, we can do this. And then we had to climb stairs. And I looked at my watch. I climbed over like 560 flights of stairs yesterday. So those last couple stairs were not welcome. But I just thought, I left and I went over and I met him after. I hunted him down and we talked and he was so grateful. He doesn't know how grateful I was. The joy that I had, I was strange. It's a natural thing. Please know that I'm not over-spiritualizing a race. But I love, as you know, what you've come to learn. I just love the lessons I can learn from. And I just saw that. I thought, what an opportunity to encourage this brother. This other racer. But take it as a spiritual sense. How we can encourage another brother. Say, let's keep going. In a time of weakness, you see a brother or sister who maybe is weary. To be able to come alongside. It says we are to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That's amazing. You want to fulfill the law of Jesus Christ? Bear one another's burdens. That is an amazing thing. You know, we can over-spiritualize and say, what does it mean to fulfill the law of Christ? And all the great things that we could do for Christ. but to strengthen a weary one with a word. It says that, I love that. It says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me at my ear. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. That's for every one of us. That's not for somebody that has the gift to share on Sunday morning. That's for every person to be able to say, Lord, if I'm a genuine disciple, if I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, Lord, give me an ear to hear. Wake me up in the morning and let it be my priority to wake up in the morning, Lord, and hear, how can I strengthen my brothers and sisters today? How can I find that fellow runner in this race of faith that is weary and come to them and say, hey, you know what? It's just over this hill. Just let's get up this hill. Let's get up this one. And the Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will help us. And it just struck me yesterday what an incredible blessing it is to run into somebody who knows what we need and to have them just reach out and just meet that need. And then only 5 kilometers later to be able to do it for somebody, to turn that around. Somebody meets me at an aid station and helps me. And then 5 kilometers later to be able to turn around and meet that need for Alistair, who I met after the race, and just encourage him for the last 6 kilometers. And to help get to that finish line. I don't want to share more. We're going to do communion this morning. I wanted to encourage you this morning. First off, just, I know they seem totally separate, but really they're not. To know that through Jesus Christ, the victory that we have in him, but two, that in this walk, how much we need each other. And what a gift. As I look out here, I see a brother I haven't seen for a while. It's wonderful to see you. But to just see the love and to have the love that we have for one another and to know that we can encourage and strengthen one another and spur one another on and carry and help bear one another's burdens and so that we can fulfill the law of Christ and that we can press on in this race of faith.